Saturday Brisbane Line is organising four regular monthly interviewees for our show, one specialist each week over the course of each month to help us better understand the impacts current local, state, national or international legal issues could have on Brisbane and southeast Queensland. We're covering law, the environment, cultural performances and economics and development. Today we're speaking with Dr. Rebecca Ananian-Welsh, who is lecturer in public law at the University of Queensland's T.C. Byrne School of Law and where her research focuses in part on the courts. She co-authored The Tim Carmody Affair, Australia's Greatest Judicial Crisis. Today we're looking at gaps in Australia's protection of human rights and the way we deal with corruption. I'll start with the Queensland Government's proposed Human Rights Act. Why do the states need Human Rights Acts, given that we have a Federal Human Rights Commission?
Australia is actually the only Western democracy with no national Bill of Rights or Charter of Rights. So you've got the Canadian one, the UK one, the New Zealand one, all over the world, except Australia. What we do have is a kind of piecemeal protection going on with the Racial Discrimination Act and a whole bunch of other acts. And of course, we have the Human Rights Commission to deal with that. In a lot of ways, it actually would make sense to tie all of that together into a Federal Human Rights Act.
If we don't have a Federal Human Rights Act, how did we end up with a Federal Human Rights Commission?
The Human Rights Commission deals with a whole range of things that come under this umbrella term human rights. So there is a whole raft of different kinds of laws that have been enacted from time to time. I guess Australia took it in that little bit here, little bit there, step-by-step approach, two steps forward, one step back sometimes. Whereas in other places around the world, they enacted one act or a Bill of Rights or a constitutional amendment to just contain everything in it.
So what could such an act do or cover here in Queensland?
Well, if we look at what's gone on in the ACT in Victoria, the kinds of rights that are covered aren't any surprise. They're the UN kind of International Covenant on Civil Political Rights, things like a right to be treated with dignity, freedom from torture, freedom from cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment, pretty basic rights. They're the kinds of ones we could expect to be included. The impact is interesting. On the one hand, the impact would be felt in organisations and anywhere that people can suddenly start saying, I have a right to be treated decently. So think of aged care or right for disabled people to get on transport. But what it wouldn't create is a US kind of system. There's no right to strike down legislation because your rights have been infringed. You can't take it to court and get a money remedy, like get payouts because your rights have been infringed. That kind of thing isn't what's happened in Australia.
Has the effectiveness of individual human rights acts been blunted in recent times, given the federal government's attacks on Gillian Triggs?
I think seeing this clash of personalities almost between Brandis and Triggs and between the government and the Human Rights Commission just hits home for me why we really need more human rights acts. I don't think human rights should be the subject of this personality politics. I think it should be something that the people have control of, and you can say to your employer, oh, I've got a right to fair pay, or I've got a right to this, rather than just this politics that is going on at the upper levels that seems a bit removed from the actual people at the core of it.
Given that much of the complaints from the government about Gillian Triggs stem from a report into the detention of children and the timing of the release of that report, I'd just like to move to a group of seven international lawyers, including Australia's Julian Burnside, who have petitioned the International Criminal Court to investigate five of Australia's prime ministers all the way back to 96 and John Howard for crimes against humanity. What does such a petition mean?
The International Criminal Court plays a very important role and has some very important prosecutions over, say, human rights violations and war crimes. A prosecution against the Australian government would be completely unprecedented, and it wouldn't be able to happen unless the Australian government consented to the court having jurisdiction over the matter. And then the Australian government decided to send people over to The Hague and provide testimony and all of that, which is never going to happen. But this, I don't think, is really the point of what these lawyers have done. Andrew Wilkie took a very similar step a few years ago of petitioning that then Prime Minister Tony Abbott should go before the International Criminal Court on very similar kinds of grounds. It's really to make a political statement. that will raise the issue of asylum seekers and the way that they're treated into high profile for Australians, but also put it on that world stage and just say that this is in contravention of international law. We may see other parts of the UN, and we have seen in the past, coming to investigate this, to write a report mainly, but an actual prosecution before the International Criminal Court, almost no chance that that is actually going to happen.
Can a sitting PM, or any PM for that matter, actually be indicted in such a case?
Yeah, if that person was guilty of war crimes or accused of war crimes, yeah, absolutely. And the way that a lot of these crimes are phrased, like torture, it's the person at the top of the chain of command that takes responsibility for it.
This week in New South Wales, the Baird government passed legislation to overhaul the structure and makeup of the Independent Commission Against Corruption's commissioners, and that's on top of years of funding cuts, I think something to the tune of about 15%. Is there an inherent problem with a model where governments fund these types of watchdogs?
Yes, there is, but how to overcome that problem is a bit of a mystery. So we've talked about the gaps in human rights protection in Australia. One thing that has emerged to play a very strong role in holding government to account are independent watchdogs. And the word independent there is a bit of a difficult one because on the one hand, they are independent, they need to be independent. On the other hand, they're funded by government. They're created by Parliament. And what we're seeing here with ICAC is if the government doesn't like the way they're going, then they can stop funding or cut funding or effectively fire the commissioner and restructure the whole branch.
Is this a pattern from, say, Conservative governments hobbling these independent watchdogs? Or, for instance, does the Labor Party, when they're in government, also take on these institutions, but they just kind of do it in a nicer way or a quieter way?
It's all about politics and whatever serves the political aims at the time. And I don't think that depends on whether it's the left or the right doing it. So clearly, post-Fitzgerald inquiry in Queensland, there was a really good political move that either side of politics would have gone for to have these set up these independent watchdogs to tell the community we are not going to tolerate corruption. Newman certainly empowered the Crime Commission under the Bikie laws with outrageous amounts of power. So sometimes these watchdogs can be used in part of a bigger political play. At the federal level, where we have the stop the boats kinds of policy continuing, Gillian Triggs was standing in the way of that, and so we've had a lot of friction between the Human Rights Commission and the government. It does play into what the flavour of the day is politically.
That was Dr Rebecca Ananian-Welsh ending that interview. Before commencing her academic career, she held positions with DLA Piper Sydney and the Federal Attorney General's Department. For more information on the issues we covered today, you can go to humanrightsforqueensland.com.au, www.ccc.queensland.gov.au for the Queensland Crime and Corruption Commission, www.icac.newsouthwales.gov.au for ICAC information, www.julianburnside.com.au. For more information about Rebecca, you can search for her through the University of Queensland website. You're listening to 4ZZZ FM's Brisbane Line.